Vejayantas on the top, 298 at the bottom. We are middle of here. Some of this we discussed already outside. Okay, we'll start 2, 4, 6. Page 289 at the bottom. So 298 at Basi, 298, 289. Huh? 298. 9 lines from the bottom of the page. The Alter Rebbe asked the question, if the reality of the situation is that the world is a locus and nothing but a locus, why in the world does the world not look like a locus? Very practical question. So he starts explaining the concept of Kishemesh Shemogen Hashem Elokim. The Shemesh is the sun, the Mogen is the protective shield around the sun. The same way Havaya is the revelation of Elokus, Elokim is what limits the level of Elokus. And Alter Rebbe starts explaining that the whole concept of Yesh Miyayin, like we're going to continue now, is something which is completely not understood. Just like we can't understand the infinite revelation of Hashem, the whole concept of infinite is beyond the human comprehension, because our minds are limited, we cannot comprehend infinite. The same way that Alter Rebbe is going to explain, we cannot understand the attribute of Tzimtzum. We cannot understand the level of Hashem's concealment. We know what concealment is. Something's hidden. We understand what that means. But Hashem's style of concealment is impossible for us to know. And Alter Rebbe is going to explain this. I mean, not explain that we can understand. He's explaining why we can't understand it. So he says, nine lines in the bottom. Some of this we learned today. Kevriya Yeshmiyayin. Because creating something from nothing, it's something which can be completely higher than any intellectual seichel. Why? Because the attribute of Yesh Miyayin of creation is only an attribute from Hashem. And last week we explained, because Yesh Miyayin is a contradiction within itself. Yesh Miyayin means something from nothing. But the nothing is really making the something exist. So how could it be something from nothing? And Hashem is midas of one simplistic, infinite power. Like it says in the Zayir HaKadosh, the Iyu v'gamei echad, that Hashem and his kelim, Hashem and his vessels of Elokus are all one. And therefore, ukshem shem b'yichelu shum seichel nivra. La'asik b'yrei, just like it's not in the ability of any creation to understand the Creator, because by definition, limitation cannot understand infinite. We can't understand Hashem's midas, Hashem's attributes. If we can't understand Hashem, simultaneously we cannot understand His attributes, because Hashem and His attributes are all one. Just like it's not in the physical ability of any creation to understand the greatness, the infinite power of Hashem, which is Yechelus Livre Yeshmiyayin Lachyesi, to create something from nothing and make it exist. Like it says, Elam Chesed Yibana, the creation comes from the attribute of Chesed. So just as we can't understand the Chesed of Hashem, the revelation of Hashem, Kach Mamish, the same exact way. And Biyechelte Lahasig Midas Gvorasi Shalakadosh Baruch Hu, we cannot even understand the limited power of Hashem. If we can't understand the infinite power of Hashem, we can equally not understand Hashem's limited power. Why? She mimidus at tzimtzum, because it's the attribute of tzimtzum. Umenias is pashtus hachayis, and it's the stopping and the holding back of the manifestation and the revelation of Hashem's chayis, migdulasi, from its greatness. Because like we learned, if Hashem's infinite power is revealed, all you will get is infinite. So in order for Hashem to create a limited world, Hashem had to conceal, and for that matter, remove His infinite power, that the finite, limited power of Hashem should be able to be revealed, to give revelation to the creatures, to the world. It's impossible to be accepting the infinite level of Hashem, upon him only when Hashem conceals himself. The simple gashmiistic emotional of this, when the sun is shining very bright, we were talking before about the eclipse. When you have a solar eclipse, they warn you not to look at the sun. because the sun is so great, it can, God forbid, blind you. In order to get the revelation of the sun, it has to be the mugging, the protective shield around the sun that limits the sun, that it can be able to function and reveal itself. So what is really allowing the revelation? The concealment. Because without the limitation, without the concealment, godliness would not be able to be revealed here. Because if the infinite Hashem is revealed, we wouldn't be here. It's similar, like we learned. You could be near Niagara Falls, where there's millions of gallons of water, and you don't have a cup to take an 8-ounce cup to take a little bit of water into, you're not going to be able to benefit at all from Niagara Falls. Because it's too much. It's unlimited, so to speak. In order to get anything out of it, you need to conceal it. In order for Hashem to be able to create a world, Hashem had to conceal himself in such a way that his infinite power is not there, and yet it's 100% there. It's there and it's not there. Like he says, Shachayis mistate begufa nivra, that the chayis of Hashem conceals itself in the creation. Ukeilu gufa nivra, as if Hashem hides itself so much in the creation that the object feels it's bifnei atzmi, it's a separate entity. Veinis pashtus achayis, it's not a manifestation of the chayis and ruchnius, like this pashtus hazivar me'ashemesh, like the revelation of the sun, from the rays from the sun. Alo davar bifnei atzmi, meaning it's so concealed that the creation appears to be a separate entity that knows nothing about the life force to keep it from existing. Even though the Alter Rebbe says, Av Shebemis Eina Dov Bifnei Atzmi, even though it's not really something separate. Because if the Chayis would be separate, it wouldn't exist. The only way it exists is because Hashem is making it exist. Yet Hashem makes it exist in such a way that Hashem is completely not felt in it. So he says, this contradictory concept, we cannot understand. Like we said last week, the expression, we can't understand what it means that Hashem is where He isn't. And He isn't where He is. That means the existence of the physical object is this, that the physical object is not bottled to Hashem. That's what makes it exist. What makes it a separate entity? It doesn't feel Elokus. Yet, the whole existence of the object is Elokus. So he said that we can, that concept we can't understand. This is the gvur and the ability of tzimtzum of Hashem. Ashehu kol yochel. Hashem is so unrestricted, because there isn't a thing He can't do, that yochel etzamtzim hachayiz haruchnis, He can conceal and hide the sustenance that comes from Him, ula hastirin, to hide it to such an extent, that the creation stays a creation. If Hashem would be felt in the creation wouldn't exist. So in order for the creation to exist, Hashem had to hide Himself, even though the whole existence is Hashem. And he says, this is a physical impossibility for any creation to understand this concept. He says, what does it mean? She alpha became guva nivra nivra mayayin liyesh. That nevertheless, the creation is a creation of yesh mayayin. That means it doesn't feel its source, and yet its whole existence is the source. But as far as it's concerned, there is no source. And that's why it's called yesh mayayin. Yesh mayayin, like we said, is a contradiction of terms. Yesh mi'ayin is called yesh mi'ayin, not that it comes from nothing. Yesh mi'ayin means because as far as it's concerned, there is no source. Why isn't there a source? Because they don't feel the source. If you don't feel it, doesn't, it's not there. In our world, in the world of people, or the world of world, something which is not existing in the five chushim, in the five senses, doesn't exist. If I can't see it, hear it, smell it, taste it, or feel it, it's non-existent. And that's a reality. It's a Torah reality. That in my world, if I don't hear it, or see it, or smell it, or taste it, or whatever, it doesn't exist. Yet, it's called Yesh Miayin, because this Gashmistika thing doesn't see God, feel God, taste God, hear God, smell God, nothing. In its mind, it has no source. That's why it's called Yesh Miayin. Yet, its entire existence is Hashem. So you say, we can't understand how that works. And only Hashem could do that to be in a place where he's not. It doesn't make sense. So the Rebbe says, just like we can't understand the infinite power of Hashem, we can't understand his finite power. But that doesn't take away from the reality of it, that the world is really Batul Hashem. So the reality is, world is Batul. From our realistic perspective, the world is not Batul. And both are right. What's the problem? I know, I don't understand. That's what you're saying over here, we don't understand.
Why can't you say, you can't understand it, why can't you say that the Gashmi is a thing, that it's Bato Hashem, but we can't see it. You're saying that this world thinks that we can't see, touch, taste, right? But you can talk about, people can understand a concept, they can understand a feeling, they can understand a thought, even though you can't touch it, right? So you can also understand the spiritual dimension that keeps things going. We can understand that emotions and thoughts,
the marshal of... I don't mean you as you. I mean you. Does a person ever speak Lashon Hara? Such a thing exists. Rare, whatever, one in a city, once a year, it exists. Yeah? Okay. Or the mind, it happens, can think what it shouldn't. Or a person can do what they shouldn't. Yeah? Now, who gives the entire existence of the mind, the mouth, and the hand? What gives it existence? Hashem. Correct? Not only is the existence of the hand Hashem, the ability for me to move my fingers or my mouth or my brain is coming from Hashem.
And yet you can go against Hashem.
Right. Now how does that work? But you're not going against if he's allowing you to do it.
You're going against his outside
rutzin. But he's making, he's helping you do it.
Because the deeper
rutzin. Is Hashem an accomplice in the sin?
No.
Yes, he is. Without him, you couldn't do it.
But that's his ultimate plan.
So I ask you, is he a shutif, a partner in the sin?
No, because you don't hear.
You mean no? Without him, can you move your mouth? So he's not only is he accomplice, you could blame him entirely.
No.
It's easier that way. It's a machai that way.
No, I don't think like that. Because Hashem, whatever it is that you choose, you don't hear Hashem directing you, so you're making your choice.
But you, if you learn Chassidus, you know that the Eibishter is helping you move.
Yes, but it doesn't affect your choice. Your existence based on
I'm not talking about free will versus destiny now.
No, I know that.
I'm talking about the Gashmias.
You can do something wrong, but you can still know that Hashem is keeping you going
over. Why at that time are you going against the will of Hashem?
That ultimately is what we need to see.
Do you feel Hashem at that moment?
You don't feel Hashem sometimes even when you're very spiritual.
Right. Now how could that be?
That
if your whole existence is God, it's like you're in water and you don't feel water.
physical thing, and it's like you're saying, I don't see the emotion. I don't see the love between a parent and a child. I don't see the anger. Where's the anger? I don't see the thought. I don't see whatever it is, the intangible. You know
what's closer to Hashem? Gashmis or Ruchnis? What's closer to Hashem?
None. There's no closer or further. Hashem is not, doesn't take a broom.
Doesn't take a broom or broom? Maybe Hashem's sweeping the floors already. I don't know what you said. Room or broom?
Take a broom. Hashem is everywhere. There's no closer or further.
So Gashmis Ruchnis are equal. I'm asking you a question. Huh?
In reference to Hashem, it's equal.
In reference to us? The truth of the matter is Gashmis. If anything, Gashmis is closer to Hashem. Because Gashmis... No, because Gashmis reveals a greater level of Elokus than Ruchnius does. What we're learning over here, that Gashmis doesn't feel its source, correct? That means, as far as Gashmis is concerned, Gashmis is Metzius and Matzmusi. So that level of godliness, that Hashem is not only Ein Sof, not only that He has no end, but Ein Letchila has no beginning. Ein Letchila, no beginning, is greater than no end. Right? Ruchnius has a beginning, but no end. Correct? Something that has no beginning is much greater than something that has no end. Because you can make something that from the time you make it, it has no end. Ein Letchila has no beginning means there's no beginning, definitely no end. Because nothing started it, nobody, you didn't hire, you can't fire, right? You didn't, it wasn't made, so nothing can end it. Now, Ruchnius, who feels their source, spirituality feels the source where it comes from, correct? So spirituality can only reveal a level of godliness that it itself has. That there's a source. But the source is unlimited. Gashmius is a self-existent entity. What does Yashmiayin mean? Yashmiayin means I come from nothing. Right? And that's the real existence of Gashmius, is this that it feels itself to be. Because the truth is, everything is God. Gashmius' existence is this that I feel myself to be. That's my existence. Because really, I'm Hashem. What makes me something? That Hashem hid Himself from me in such a way that I don't feel Him, then what do I think? That I'm a self-existent entity. So Gashmius reveals a level of godliness that God is self-existent entity. If anything, Gashmius reveals a deeper level of Elokus than Ruchnius does. But as far as Hashem is concerned, Gashmius and Ruchnius are the same. And therefore the whole concept of Chassidus is that mitzvahs dafka have to be dafka in Gashmius. Mitzvahs are not only Hashem wanted it to be in Gashmius. Mitzvahs have to be in Gashmius. Because only Gashmius could reveal that aspect of Elokus that Ruchnius can't reveal.
But we never reveal it. You always say to reveal it. We never...
You do a mitzvah, you reveal it.
Yeah, but not to us, we don't reveal it, ever.
It'll be revealed by Tchis HaMeisim. No, the money's going into a trust fund that's opening when Tchis HaMeisim happens. But now you got it.
When you take something out of and you use it for the right thing, you don't see that, ever.
Who doesn't see it?
Us. We don't ever see it.
Tzaddikim see it. Tzaddikim could see it.
Okay, I'm talking about us. Don't reveal it. The Gashmius stays the Gashmius. It looks the same afterwards. You look at the little of the Gashmius, you can't tell that it was used or not used. You look at the person who made an effort on themselves, you can't tell. You can't see it in the Gashmius.
When the money's in the trust fund in the bank hidden, you also don't see it. That doesn't mean it's not there. The Friedrich Rebbe uses the expression. No! The Rebbe brings down, I think the Rebbe brings down the Lashon, I think it's from the Friedrich Rebbe, there's Kemunach Bekufsa. It's like put in the box. It's there, it's just locked up, we don't see it.
So we always say to reveal, but we're not revealing.
You are revealing.
To whom? To reveal means to show so you can see.
If this sefer falls on the floor, what do you do?
You lift it up if you don't see.
And kiss it.
Okay, but let's say the sefer falls on the floor, and whether I pick it up and kiss it, or whether we learn from the Sefer or we don't, the Sefer looks the same. We haven't revealed it.
It's not true. It's revealed. We're blind. We open the light, but our eyes are closed.
So who are we revealing it to?
The world is impacted by it. Because even a blind person could tell if the lights are on or off. They can't see.
But it's not Gilui Elokus.
It is Gilui Elokus. It makes the world... It makes... What's the concept of Mitzvah Gereres Mitzvah? Mitzvah Gereres Mitzvah means... Because when you do a mitzvah, even though we might be unaware of it openly, to feel it, like when you eat food, you feel it, right? Or you see something physical, you see it. Nevertheless, you refine the world and yourself to a level that's automatically easier to do another mitzvah. Why? There's where you see it, not physically. You don't see it physically with your eyes. But the fact is, Mitzvah, Gereres Mitzvah, is not a Kabbalistic concept. As a matter of fact, the Mishnah says it. But you know, we all know, that when you do something good, with kids in school, when they do something good, it's easier for them to do a step further good. And when they do bad, it's easier for them to do bad. Why is it? It's not the pshat, you see it. You don't see how the previous mitzvah, or the good thing, makes them do the next good thing. But the fact is, that they became disciplined, refined, holy, or whatever you want to call it. That is revealing a locus. What do you think is going to be a big bang with a thing of lightning? I mean, what do you think? The chair is going to glow? What do you, Mashiach comes, the chairs are going to be lit up chairs? No, really, radioactive godliness. But I'm saying even more than that. Every Jew, if the concept of Mitzvah Gereres Mitzvah is something which we can understand. It's not Kabbalah. When you do a mitzvah, it's automatically easier to do another mitzvah. Okay? That is the impact of revealing a locus into the world and into yourself, that it's automatically easier to do another mitzvah. A person is more prone to sin. A person would be more prone to sin in a regular place than they would be in a shul, in a yeshiva, in 770. Well, I don't know. But what does that mean?
We're not revealing, it's hidden still.
Does Hashem reveal Himself to you? Every day, every minute.
Not if you can't see it. That's what I'm trying to say.
Are you breathing?
So I'm breathing.
Enoch Hanami. What's the definition? Let me ask you a question. This chair is holy?
Yes, because you held on to it when he gave a shiur.
No, that's not the... Okay, why is this chair allowed to be on the floor? Okay, let me ask you a question. Is Eibishter's existence in the carpet?
It's everything.
Yeah. So how can I step on the carpet? But I'm stepping on God. Thank you. It was all controversy if it was nice or not when we put it in. What? First of all, people davened on the carpet. They spit Aleinu on the carpet.
I don't know.
So, Lucheda, the question is, how can you step on a guy? Did I just hit Hashem by moving my hand? If Hashem's all over, did I just smack him in the face? Why not?
Because you're mixing physical with spiritual. What makes sense? You can't give a physical comparison to something spiritual. But I'm saying when we talk about...
But Hashem's not spiritual. Hashem's physical too.
And even when we do a mitzvah, it remains hidden in the
physical. It's revealed, but we don't see it.
So what's the point of it being revealed? Who is it revealed?
Because now, Hayem La Seisam, now we're doing the work of revealing it. I'll give you a simple example. Somebody works. Yeah, and let's say they get paid. So let's say they get paid every 2 weeks. Yeah? When are you making the money? When they give you the check or now?
Now.
Do you see the money now?
No, but we don't say
say your salary is revealed. You say you're going to get it then. We say we
when is the salary? Right. Now you're making the salary, and when is it going to be revealed? Then. But now the truth is, you're revealing the salary. Because by you working now, that's going to make you get paid. If you don't work, you're not going to get paid. No, the revelation that we will see it will happen when Mashiach comes. Now we're working, now we're getting paid. Because Hashem didn't pay up yet the salary.
But we're saying that we're revealing a curse in the world.
Correct.
That's
what I'm explaining. The revelation is... No, she wanted to know, where do you see it in a tangible way? The tangible way of the revelation... The revealing of Elokus is that it makes you easier to do another mitzvah. Mitzvah Gederes Mitzvah, like we said. What?
But you see it in a tangible way. Like, if you think about it 6 months down the line, the things you did and then the rewards that you get, people you make in life and situations that arise, like, you don't know from what, but you see it tangibly. I see everything.
Yeah, but that's not the reward for mitzvahs. According to the Rambam, and it's probably like that according to Chassidus too, that when it says in the Torah, in B'chukesei Talecha, I'm going to give you a reward of mitzvahs, you know, Gashmias, I'm going to give you all the physical rewards, according to the Rambam, it's not the reward of the mitzvahs. Because the Rambam, unlike the Ramban of Kabbalah and Chassidus, the Rambam holds the ultimate reward is Ganeid, not Chias HaMesim. So the Rambam writes, in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam writes, this that Hashem gives us, but he promises a gashmius, you know, I'll give you rain and health, wealth, happiness, and all that stuff. That's not as a reward of the mitzvah. That is, Hashem sees you're trying to do mitzvahs. Hashem says, I'm going to make your life easier. I'm going to give you those things that will allow you to keep them. But that's not the reward of the mitzvah. And even the reward, and that's just, you know, Eludvarm Shein Lashir and certain things you see the benefit of it in this world. B'chlal, whoever runs a life according to Torah mitzvahs, it's a much disciplined type of a life. A proper religious Jew, not one that looks religious. I'm saying one who lives a Torah life has a much better type of a life. It's more disciplined, more refined. It's a sweeter type of life than a person that doesn't. But that's not reward for the mitzvah. The side benefits. That's the working expenses that you get paid. That's not the reward.
What about the soul of a child that you get?
What? The neshama of the child that what? It all part of the system. Okay.